Our speaker tonight is Brother Sean Evans. His subject again, death will not have the last word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Brother Sean, will you share with us why death will not have the last word on tonight?
Family, as we look at the text tonight, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, and we will break the bread of life. And the first thing I want to say to all of you all that are on, that are not members of the Lord's church, is that someone loves you. Someone loves you enough to know that your soul needs to be saved. So they invited you because they love you. So please understand that you are loved, and we're going to try our best to teach this lesson in a manner of love that you can see how much that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit loves you as well. When you look at 1 Thessalonians, the chapter is 4 and verse 13. The Bible says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you would not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. He said, therefore, comfort one another with these words. There were brethren during this time that thought that when Jesus come back, they didn't know what was going to happen, and they thought that the dead who had died in Christ would be left behind. And so Paul writes this to allow them to know what's going to transpire, and also that death is not going to have the last word. I want you all to see what's going to happen to death, the final enemy of God. What's going to take place when death is forced to give up the dead that it is holding? What is going to happen to death that we can prove that death is not going to have the last word? And then once we see this, I want to share with you some words that Jesus taught that is going to transpire, that others are going to hear on that great day, and why all these words are going to be said as well. So first I want to go to Revelations. The chapter is 20. Revelations, the chapter is 20. Then we're going to look at verse number 11. Revelations chapter 20. Verse number 11, Revelations 20:11, the Bible says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the thrones, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Now listen to what it says in verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Death is not going to have the last word. Matter of fact, death is going to be destroyed. Death is going to be destroyed. He goes on and says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. He's thrown into this fiery furnace, those whose name was not found written in the book. Well, let's find out what are some of the things that Jesus said is going to transpire on that day. What are some of the words that humanity is going to hear, and why are they going to hear these words? It's important to know, yes, that a declaration is going to be given. Yes, a statement is going to be made, or statements, but why are these statements going to be made? This is very important. So let's go to Matthew, the chapter 7. We'll start there. Matthew, the chapter is 7 in verse number 21. Death will not have the last word. Matthew, the chapter is 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. In Matthew 7, 21, notice what the Bible says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. He goes on and says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Now watch what he's going to declare to them. And then I would declare to them, he goes on here and says, I never knew you. Depart from me. So one of the statements that God is going to say on that day is, I don't know you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus didn't say, I didn't create you. Jesus didn't say that I didn't create humanity. What Jesus is saying here is you try to create a relationship with him based on your terms. You try to create a relationship with God based on your laws. So you overlook the laws of God. You overlook the commands of God. Create your own laws on how you was going to serve God, how you was going to worship God. And Jesus makes the statement to them, I do not recognize your authority. I do not recognize your authority. Because they tell Jesus, we did all these things according to your authority. Let's look at it one more time. They're going to say, many will say to me, verse 22, on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? We taught by your authority. Jesus said, no, you didn't. You did not teach by my authority. I do not recognize your teaching. I do not recognize your teaching. Death is not going to have the last word, but what are you going to hear from God? What are you going to hear from God? I don't want you to hear, I do not know you. In order for us to not hear this, then we cannot worship God how we feel. We cannot worship God according to man-made doctrines. We cannot worship God according to our ancestry. We must worship God according to his word and what he says worship is, and be saved according to the scripture, not according to what mankind is teaching. Amen. What did Jesus say a person must do in order to be saved? This is what must be obeyed. So I cannot obey what I want to obey. I cannot teach what I want to teach. And I cannot worship the way I want to worship. And as you see here, good deeds does not get you into heaven. Good deeds only. Let me say it that way. Good deeds only. You must be able to work according to the authority of God. If I'm not working according to the authority of God, all that I'm doing, listen, is not being recognized by God. All that I'm doing is not being recognized by God. So he says here with this verdict, I do not know you. Because these folks was working under lawlessness. They worked under a doctrine that God doesn't recognize. Working under a doctrine that God doesn't recognize. I want you to put this scripture in your notes. I want you to put this scripture in your notes. 2 John 9 and 10. 2 John 9 and 10. The Bible says here in 2 John 9 and 10, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ do not have God. When you look at Matthew 7, 23, when God says, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that worketh in iniquity. You had your own laws. And John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, allows us to know that we can't create our own doctrine. We can only serve the doctrine of Christ. We can only follow the doctrine of Christ. And John says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He that abideth in the doctrine have both the Father and the Son. He goes on and says, if anyone comes to your door and does not bring this doctrine, which doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. He said, do not receive him into your home, neither bid him Godspeed. Amen. We can't listen to everybody. We have to make sure that they're in the doctrine of Christ. If not, this is what they're going to hear on that day. I do not know you. We do not have a relationship, a spiritual relationship, based on my doctrine, based on my word. Watch this. Based on my blood, as I died for you. If Christ was the one who died for us, if Christ was the one who was beaten for us, if Christ was the one who was hung for us, doesn't he have the right to be obeyed and to determine what salvation is? Why not follow the Christ? And he says here, I don't know you. I don't know you. Let's look at another verdict that's going to be given. Let's go to Luke. The chapter is 13. Luke, the chapter is 13. In Luke chapter 13, verse 22, Luke 13, 22, I want to show you another verdict, but not just showing you the verdict, but why did Jesus make this verdict here as well? Why did he say this verdict? Watch what the Bible says here in Luke chapter 13, verse 22. Luke 13, 22, and he was passing through from one city and a village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, are just a few who are being saved? So he said, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Why would they not be able, Jesus? Because they're not trying to go through his door. He goes on here and says, once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us. Then he will say to you, I do not know where you are from. Listen to this verdict. I do not know where you are from. I don't recognize you. And watch what these folks are getting ready to say. Then they will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evil doers. Here are folks who admit they heard the teaching. Here's folks that admit they fellowship with the saints. They fellowship with the Lord, but yet they refuse to obey the teaching. They said, we heard your teaching. You talk with us. We sup with you. We sup with your people. But yet they refuse to accept. You have some, and maybe you right now is contemplating, should I be saved? The question is, what am I waiting for? What am I contemplating? If I'm lost, there's only one other way I can go, and that is to be saved. Some of us are one breath from hell. We are one breath from hell. This is your opportunity. You are hearing the gospel being taught tonight, where we're going to teach the gospel in totality. And the question is, what are you waiting on? These folks heard Jesus talk in their teaching their street, and they missed it. What a sad declaration to say that I missed it. I heard him teach. I sat down with him and his people, and I still didn't obey. Now my time on this earth is over. It's over. I don't want you to hear those words. I want you to obey the teaching that you're hearing tonight. This is your opportunity to hear it. Watch what the Bible says in John. The chapter is 12 and verse number 26. John, the chapter is 12 and verse number 26. John 12, 26. John 12, 26. John chapter 12 and verse number 26. Watch what the Bible says. John 12, verse 26. And I'm going to go all the way over to 47 since we're right on this street. John 12, 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Notice what Jesus said. If anyone follows me, he must follow me. I'm not going to follow John Calvin. I'm not going to follow John Wesley. I'm not going to follow anyone that is not authorized to teach the doctrine of Christ. I'm not going to follow all these false teachers today. I'm going to follow Christ. And if Christ says that I must obey the gospel, I must believe that he died, was buried, and rose again, and be baptized for the remission of my sin, that's what I'm going to do. I don't care that a television evangelist gets up and says, hey, all you have to do is say a sinner's prayer. Cannot show you in Scripture, but they preach and teach these things. But what did our Lord say? He said, If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servants will also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Watch what Jesus says in verse number 47, same chapter. Verse 47, same chapter. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Please understand, when Jesus taught that this, he was teaching in present tense. But when Jesus comes back, he's coming back as the judge. He goes on and says, he who rejects me and does not receive my saying has one who judges him. The word I speak is what will judge him in the last day. What's going to judge? The words that he speaks. For I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as what to say and what to speak. He says, I know, this is my favorite verse in the book of John, for I know that his commandments is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Jesus said, I did not leave anything out. I gave you exactly what God said. When it comes to salvation, Jesus didn't leave anything out. If you don't want to hear, I don't know you, then you're going to obey the gospel. You're not going to be like those in Luke 13 that heard him teach, ate and supped with him and drank with him, and yet lost your soul. And yet you lose your soul. As you look at this in Luke chapter 13, verse 22, these folks here, they watch the Lord go in and out among them. You all, how many of you all are watching God's children go in and out among you, coming back and forth, sharing the gospel, pleading with you? Why? Because they want your soul saved. Because you are worth it. God said you are worth it. He died for you that you could receive eternal life. He died for you that you could receive eternal life. You don't want to hear one of these judgments. You don't want to hear, I know you not. You don't want to hear, I don't know where you come from. You don't want to hear, depart from me. You don't want to hear this. You want to know on that great day that your name is going to be written in the book. On that great day, you're going to receive an eternal home with God. Paul told them in 1 Thessalonians, I don't want you to grieve like those who have no hope. Christians have hope. We know that we're going to be, that we've been redeemed. And on that great day, we're going to be changed to look like him. Now let's go to another verdict that God gives. We're going to go to Matthew 25. Matthew, the chapter is 25. Matthew chapter 25. I want you to see another verdict that Jesus allows individuals to see as well. In Matthew 25, I'm going to start at verse 31. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, the verse is 31. Matthew 25, 31. The Bible says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them. You see, Jesus is going to be the judge. As the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundations of the world. Do you not want to hear that? Come ye, you who are blessed of my Father. How are they blessed by Jesus' Father? How are we blessed by Jesus' Father? Because we have accepted the gospel, obeyed the gospel. Amen. And we're striving to be faithful unto death. We have accepted what Jesus told the apostles to go and teach. He told the apostles to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. When you look at this glorious gospel, it is glorious for us, but it was a horrific scene for Jesus. They took our Savior and they began to scourge him. And scourging was for sport. It was simply for fun, for sport. This is how they treated prisoners. Even though he wasn't guilty, they began to scourge him, literally rip the flesh from his body with a device made of animal skin. Our Savior held on. He did not give in because he knew that we needed him and he was the only hope for humanity. If Jesus is the only hope for humanity, why won't we accept that free gift? You all, they spit upon our Savior. They slapped him with the open palm. They shoved the crown of thorns down on his head. And you all, they led him back to Pilate. And his own folks, the Hebrews, the Jews, beginning to chant, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said, take him away and crucify him. Now, there's a span right here, you all, that we don't know what happened when Pilate gave Jesus back to the soldiers, because he gave him back to them. These were cruel individuals. The suffering our Savior endured, not because he was guilty, not because he committed a sin, but because we committed a sin. Here is the Creator being scourged. Here's the Creator getting ready to carry his own cross because of his creation, because of his creation. And we wonder why the verdicts are going to be what they're going to be. God is fair and loving and just, that he came down himself to save his creation. He didn't send an angel. He said, no, I'm coming down to save my creation. They made him carry his own cross. The Bible says that he couldn't bear this cross. Simon of Cyrene came and helped him to bear this cross. They took our Savior. They could have tied him to the cross because tithing was practiced back then, according to historians. But no, they nailed him to that cross. And they hung him between two thieves. Jesus made seven statements from that cross. Seven. I'm only going to give you three. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a God we serve who can put aside his pain, who can put aside his agony, who can put aside being humiliated to think about his creation. Father, forgive them. And here his creation refused to come to him. I love what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2. They that gladly receive. We should be glad to receive salvation. We should be glad that God has cleansed us from our sins. Another statement he made from the cross is, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Because he was bearing the sins of the world. And the final statement Jesus made from the cross is, it is finished. Not that his suffering was finished. He became the propitiation. This is a big word that means he became the payment for sin. God said, I'm going to block mankind from going into hell with my body, with my blood-stained body. He was crucified. He died, was buried in a borrowed tomb. On the third day, he came up out of that grave with all power. He didn't come out the grave vindictive. He came out with all power, still concerned for his creation. He told the apostles to go and preach the gospel. Go tell the world what I have done, how I was scourged, how I died, how I was buried, how I rose again. He that believeth and is baptized. Why is baptism important? Because it washes away sin. Why is baptism important? Because we receive a circumcision that is not made with hands, according to Colossians chapter 2, verse number 11. You are circumcised by God. That old man is being cut away. Hello. Why is baptism essential? Because it puts me in Christ, according to Galatians 3:26-29. Why is baptism essential? Because it saves right now, according to 1 Peter 3:21. Listen, you all can be saved tonight. Are you willing to come to Christ on his terms? Are you willing to let go man-made traditions and doctrines? You all, our mothers and fathers will not be sitting on the throne. God will. God will be sitting on the throne. Do you want to honor him and become his servant? Then obey the gospel in the manner that he has said. And you won't have to worry about the first two verdicts we were told. All you're going to hear is come in. Come in, you who are blessed of my Father. You all, tonight, if someone wants to be saved, please don't get off the line. Please allow someone to know, the person that had you come on the conference call. You all, we will meet you tonight, wherever you are, to make sure that you are baptized into Christ tonight. Tonight is your night. Tomorrow is not promised. This may be your last breath. If you take it, let's take it in Christ Jesus. I love what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. The dead in Christ. These individuals who had died in Christ. If we die before our Savior comes back, we want to die in Christ. Amen. May God bless each and every one of you all. I pray that this lesson has pricked your hearts, and I pray that you will obey the gospel before it's everlasting too late. Thank you.